Hello, pizzazzes. Welcome back to another episode of Hot Pizza Ass Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Darling, and on today's show, we are going to do a deep dive all about therapy. I'm going to tell you guys about some of my experiences, give some advice, recommendations, things that have been helpful for me, things that haven't worked, times I've stopped therapy, and things I've declined to do. Also, maybe some hilarious stories, because I've definitely had some weird things happen to me in therapy too. So let's get into therapy together. But first, a word from our sponsors. Have you ever had the experience of sitting behind your laptop and all of a sudden all your energy and motivation just goes out the window? I know I sure have, and nootropics have actually helped me a lot when it comes to focus and getting things done. I always knew I wanted to try them, but I wasn't sure what companies were legitimate, and then I found Thesis. They are fantastic. I've been using their product for about a year and a half, and on days when I need a little more focus and clarity, I like the Logic formula and the Energy formula, my personal favorite. Their supplements are effective, and I really like how they don't come with any of the negative side effects of stimulants or having a lot of coffee. If you want to try them out, go to takethesis.com, where you can take a quiz and get personalized results about what formulas might be the most effective for you. And because you listen to Hot Pizza Ass Podcast, you can use the code DARLING to get 10% off of your first order. Again, go to takethesis.com, code DARLING, for 10% off your first order of Thesis. If you're feeling depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here for you. There are times when I felt like I can barely keep up with my life, but luckily, BetterHelp makes it really easy to find and connect with a therapist at your convenience from the privacy and the comfort of your own home. Join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with BetterHelp. Special offer to Hot Pizza Ass listeners, you can get 10% off of your first month at betterhelp.com/hotpizzaass. Again, that's betterhelp.com/hotpizzaass. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. And now, on to the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Hot Pizza Ass Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Darling, and today we're going to talk about therapy, what I've learned from it, my experiences in therapy, and a little bit of mental health. So we're going to kick this off with some statistics that I found. If you guys want information on where these stats came from, please check the show notes. In any given year, one in five employed adults in the U.S. experiences a mental health issue, including depression, anxiety, and insomnia. Worldwide, one in four people will experience a mental health issue in any given year. One in five adults, or 9.8 million Americans, will experience a mental illness this year that is serious enough to interfere or impact with major life activities. The number one thing that affects Americans when it comes to mental health is depression, and it affects 300 million people a year. This episode isn't about depression, but if you are looking for resources when it comes to finding help for depression or anxiety, again, please check the show notes, and I want to say that up front, that I have resources available for you. And I'm going to dedicate the bulk of this episode just to talk about what I've been through, which doesn't include that. But I have been through talk therapy, couples therapy, alternative types of therapy, which we're going to talk about, that I'm kind of excited to get into. But I wanted to explain to you some of my experiences. Hopefully they will help. And hopefully they will inspire if you're thinking about getting into therapy, or if it's stigmatized in your community or your family, or really if you just want someone to talk to or an outside perspective, because I feel like the most growth that I have experienced in a therapy setting has honestly been from that. It's just been from talking to someone and having someone challenge me and encourage me to talk about my patterning and why I do certain things that I do and things that show up in my life and how to better them or think about them in a different way. And that's been amazing. So the first time that I ever went to therapy was actually couples therapy. And I don't know if I suggest that. I think that I probably should have gone to individual therapy before, but it was the circumstances that called for this. Essentially, I was in a relationship where I didn't know what to do. I don't think either one of us did. And we were at this crossroads of either breaking up or trying to work things out. And so I suggested couples therapy. So we did it. And the first thing that I learned in this experience is that it's so important to find someone that you trust, because I don't actually believe that the therapist that we worked with was a trained therapist. And why do I believe this? Well, because we never went to an office. I never saw any of their accreditation. And it was a referral through a friend that I didn't really know. I think that this person might have been some sort of, I don't know, like a motivational teacher or life coach. But because what happened in this experience was I went in trusting that they were a therapist. And I feel like although they encouraged conversation, it felt kind of one-sided. And it also gave us no actionable steps or plans on how to move forward or how to change the actual relationship. So to me, I thought that was really strange. And of course, because I'd never been to therapy on my own, I thought, okay, maybe this is normal. And I also, there was another part of my brain that was thinking, well, this is not really what I've seen in TV and movies. Like, that's all I knew about therapy to that point. I was like, it feels like all depictions of couples therapy I've seen in media, this experience seems to be more equitable and fair. Like, both parties are getting a shot to say what they want, and both parties are being heard, and that the therapy itself is geared toward finding some sort of mediation to a shared problem. And that wasn't the experience that we had at all. So after a couple of sessions with this person, I felt like there wasn't any actual progress. And I asked if I could find a different therapist. And this is my suggestion when it comes back to finding someone that you trust. It's really easy to find therapists. Depending on what type of insurance you have, sometimes your insurance or your primary care doctor can select people or suggest people for you. But like any other doctor, there are ways to look at who this doctor is, where they went to school, what their patients have to say about them. And one of the easiest ways to do this is on Yelp. I mean, of course, Google can give you a lot of suggestions too, where you can read about the people. And you know, there's a lot of medical websites that list people's accreditations and background and what they specialize in. But I like Yelp because I feel like people are just so gangster on Yelp. Like, people don't give a fuck on Yelp. They will tell you exactly what they think. They will drag people. They will. They keep it real. And I kind of appreciate that, because if you're going to be spending your money, if you don't have insurance that's going to do a copay for you or that covers your anything mental illness related or mental health related, then you're paying out of pocket, and you want to make sure that it's someone who at least has a couple of positive ratings, right? I mean, I know everyone has their own way of filtering through businesses that they would like to support, even restaurants that they would want to support or go to or try for the first time, depending on what other people say and references, which is essentially Yelp is a user experience reference app. And there's so many ways to look up doctors, but what I did was, when we were looking for a second doctor, because I felt like the first doctor wasn't really effective, I found someone and I chose them based on their background. I knew that they went to Yale. They, you know, they specialized in some of the things that I knew or I thought were affecting the relationship. And I felt like that was really healthy for us. And I actually liked the second therapist a lot more than the first one. But unfortunately, we only did one session and then the relationship expired. So we didn't have the opportunity to go there together anymore. But I went to that therapist alone, which was also incredibly helpful. Because after I got out of that relationship, I did have a lot of questions, and I feel like it's one of the relationships where I was really challenged a lot, and there was a lot of pieces to it that I didn't see until I was out of it. which is kind of how a lot of relationships go. And whether you look at your past relationships positively or negatively, I think no matter what, you're going to end up thinking about them. And you might be like, yes, that was a great growing experience and it was a positive experience in general. Or you might look back and think to yourself, wow, I let a lot slide there, that maybe my boundaries were compromised or I could do something better moving forward. I could, you know, handle myself a little bit better or handle the relationship a little more gently or express myself. Maybe I wasn't like always telling the other person exactly what I wanted and that got us into this trouble or blah, blah, blah. There are so many ways to look at your past relationships, and it was helpful for me to continue therapy with a therapist that we saw once together because he got to see a small glimpse of what was going on in the relationship. So it was kind of very validating for me because I finally felt like I had someone else that could kind of understand what I was going through and actually, you know, met the person in person. And it wasn't just my side of the story. Because that's another thing I want to say. My second point about therapy is you are going to get results based on how honest you are. And I know you guys, I know you have good hearts, but I think we all have this storybook narrator in our heads that has this version of us and this version of what we've gone through. And maybe we even want to protect ourselves, even though the therapist is there to help you and you're hiring them, like they don't know you. But maybe you want to present a certain image of yourself or tell half truths or make the other person involved in whatever situation you're working through in therapy look like the bad guy. But you're only going to get out of therapy what you put in. And if you want honest growth, you need to give honest truth. You really, really do. And I feel like in my experiences where I have done the best in therapy, it always came down to me going to these areas of my life, these corners of my life that I don't always feel comfortable exploring or talking about. For example, I had a therapist that I was working with who was my favorite therapist, and I think we were working together for about 6 months. And we had to talk about a lot of insecurities that I've had. I had to come clean about some of my body image issues, which I've talked about in this podcast. If you are interested in listening to that, go back and listen to the first couple of episodes of Hot Pizza Ass podcast. And also, I had to examine some of my family relationships, which is really interesting because I think very positively of my family and I don't blame them for anything. And I know that they've done absolutely everything to help me become who I am today and to give me opportunities. But that doesn't mean that there's not certain things that may have happened that shaped your worldview or your paradigm or your values. And a lot of growing up is finding out and determining whether or not those values align with where you want to go in life. And sometimes they don't. And that doesn't make anyone a bad guy. But I think in my experience, this therapist really encouraged me to go deeper and would do this thing that made me feel so uncomfortable where I would say a sentence and then they would pause and, you know, not say anything and kind of encourage me to go a little bit deeper, to keep talking, to see what comes up. And then they would ask certain questions that would encourage me to maybe say things that they thought, that the therapist thought that I was alluding to or maybe passively talking about, and encourage me to get more specific about some of my experiences and to talk about the connections that might have made to where I am now. And to me, that was so fascinating. I'd never worked with a therapist that had done that before, probably because up until that point, my primary therapy was couples therapy. So I'm really, really grateful to that therapist. I can say that I think that this person genuinely helped me improve as a person and helped me create situations in my life where I had better boundaries and I was more comfortable expressing myself. And the reason why I was more comfortable expressing myself is because I didn't believe that my self-worth was tied into any of this. I think one of the best gifts that a great therapist can help you with is recognizing that your self-worth isn't tied into money or success or prestige or who you're dating. Your self-worth really does have to come from within. People say this all the time. Podcasters say this all the time. I've said this multiple times on the podcast as well. But sometimes you need to get to that conclusion on your own. You need to do the work and you need to get there on your own. And hearing other people tell you this over and over again is a lot different than getting there on your own. A good therapist can help you do that. So as you guys know, this podcast, I've been working with BetterHelp for a while. And I'm never going to have a sponsor on this podcast with a product that I don't use. So right now I do go to therapy using BetterHelp. And it's the first time I've done phone therapy. Let me tell you about this experience. I am having a great time doing phone therapy because it doesn't take extra time out of my day with driving. It encourages me to actually not cancel more. I found that when I would have to go into an office for therapy, which is great because I love being face-to-face with someone and I would love to go back to that type of therapy eventually. I'm sure that I will at some point in my life. But doing it over the phone encourages me to stay on a schedule in a more precise type of way because I never feel like, oh, I have to drive to, 30 minutes out of my way, sit down therapy, find parking, and then drive back. It never feels like threatening to my schedule. So I always keep those appointments. I think I've only had to reschedule once, and that's because a really close friend of mine had a theater debut that I really wanted to be there for, so I rescheduled therapy once. But other than that, I've been able to be pretty consistent with this therapist. And the thing that I like about this therapist, and every therapist is different, by the way, so you're going to have to do some trial and error, just see who you like and who you trust. But the one that I'm working with now is great because she is so encouraging and has helped me set some boundaries that I didn't know that I even needed, that I feel like have been really instrumental in healing with some of the things that I'm going through or things that I've gone through over the last couple of months that have been pretty traumatic for me. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know, because frequently when I do solo episodes, I do talk about things that I've been through. And I've talked about everything on this podcast from body image to going through breakups to grief, losing family members. And of course, I've done a lot of content about the pandemic, which I think is something that affects a lot of people and will continue to affect a lot of us. And I think it's probably more traumatic in ways that we don't even recognize. I don't think that a lot of people are giving ourselves enough credit for the strength that we've shown in a really, really scary and unpredictable time, which I don't think has been good for anyone's mental health. Unless you really, really love solitude. Which some people do, but I think there's a limit. There's a limit to how much solitude most people like, right? I think our relationships have been tested and maybe even you've lost people. I know I have. I feel like my life has changed a lot and the person that I was a couple years ago is pretty different than the person that I am now. And that's why I'm really grateful that I'm back in therapy and that I have someone that has been able to help me a little bit during this period of time of my life. It's been a huge growing experience. So I also want to talk to you guys about times that I didn't do therapy or times that I stopped therapy. Because of course, not all therapy experiences are great. And like I said before, you're going to have to find the person and the type of therapy that works for you. When I stopped seeing my last therapist right before the pandemic, who is the one that I told you about that I had a lot of growth with, when we decided to take a few months off, actually at his encouragement, which we'll pause right here and I'll tell you the story. I remember that the last session that I saw him, it was the end of 2019. And a lot of the things that I was going through at the time, or a lot of the problems, the things I would come in and talk to the therapist about, ended up resolving themselves. And I stood up for myself. I created stronger boundaries, and I was in a really positive place, even though my life wasn't by any means completely figured out. And I remember at the end of that session, the therapist said, "Listen, I feel like you're actually doing really great. I'm so proud of you. And I feel like you could take a break from this for a couple of months." And I remember walking out of that session feeling like I was floating on air, because we don't give each other enough credit. We don't give ourselves enough credit constantly, especially for things like therapy, right? Because it's not like there's any productivity award attached to that. You completing therapy or taking care of your mental health, people aren't like, "Oh, great, we'll give you a bonus for that. Gold star." So you really do have to give yourself the gold star and celebrate yourself for the little wins like that. So when this guy said, "I feel like you can take some time off if you want," I felt so incredible. Like I had really done something great for me. And at the end of the session, he says, "But if you are interested in continuing therapy and you want to see someone else, I would like to make a suggestion to someone who is an eating disorder therapist or disordered eating therapist." And I even talked with this person on the phone, and I accepted the referral at first, but I spent some time thinking about it after learning what this therapy would entail, and I ultimately ended up declining because I felt like the things I've gone through in my past, body image issues and weird eating patterns and counting calories and tracking things like that, like exercise and activity and flipping out about having half a tablespoon of olive oil in my salad, like just being way too obsessive. Those are all patterns that I don't do anymore. Those are things that kind of don't have a place in my life anymore. And even though it is part of my story, I'm happy with it being in the past. I don't feel like it's really affecting my life in a day-to-day sense. And I felt like going to therapy and talking about it would actually re-traumatize me, and it probably wouldn't be healthy for me at this point in time. My third point about therapy is sometimes it can be re-traumatizing. And if you are too close to a situation that you can't even think about or talk about with having a panic attack, and of course, there are so many reasons why this might be the case, don't pressure yourself to get into therapy right away. It's okay. There are certain books that I couldn't read at certain times in my life because I don't think I could get through a page without freaking out emotionally. And that's okay. Like, I knew I could come back to it. You can always come back to therapy. And if there is anything going on where you're feeling really overwhelmed to the point where you need a little bit of space and time, and really time is one of the only things that heals, I would say take it. Don't be afraid to wait. Don't be afraid to dig back into it when you're ready. But both of those things are only things that you can decide and only things that you yourself know. Alternative types of therapy. If you guys want a really cool episode where I talk about this a lot, go check out the episode with the basic witches, which I'll put in the show notes. That episode, we talk about internal family systems types of therapy. Pretty sure we talk about EMDR. But there's also Reiki, energy healing. And also on this podcast, we've talked about exorcisms. I'll put a link to that episode too. Yeah, there's a lot of different types of therapy you can do. Yeah, my favorite modalities that would be considered alternative are, I love Reiki. Everyone knows this. I have a really good Reiki specialist here in Los Angeles. And the cool thing about Reiki is that it's intuitive healing. So if you've never been to a Reiki session, you basically lay on it's almost like a massage table or some sort of table of some sort. And a practitioner will go and use their hands, and you can feel the heat, and it feels incredible and so weird. And the end of the session, I always end up feeling kind of like anxious. And I'm like, is this normal? And my Reiki practitioner goes, "Yes, every feeling you have is normal. And I'm like, that's such a Reiki thing to say. She's like, yeah. So don't be surprised if you have, more anxiety, or you feel weird, or if you feel euphoric in the next couple of days. I'm like, this, it literally sounds like she's telling me I could feel any type of emotion. Like, I'll feel some type of way. It could be anything. But the weird thing about it is that I was skeptical. But after a month, I felt like, wow, my life does kind of feel better. I feel like whatever happened on that Reiki table, like, melted some shit away. And then eventually, a couple weeks later, I was like, wow, I feel great. I'm a new person. That could have been from a lot of things. But regardless, there's a placebo effect, I think, connected to everything, connected to any type of alternative healing that you might do. A lot of people like tapping. I have some friends that say that that's really effective for them too. And there's tons of free YouTube videos that you can look up. Tapping for anxiety, for stress, for healing, whatever it is. There's a lot of people that I know that are into self-help books and find insights and gems in a lot of books about, you know, healing or self-love. I would consider that a healing modality too. It's definitely a tool that you can use. And if you're great at integrating work and reading books and actually finding the ways to make this information applicable to your life, then do what works for you. There are so many sources of information out there, so many ways to grow, and so many ways to feel better about whatever it is in your life that would lead you to therapy anyway. But one of the most effective healing modalities or therapy types that I can recommend is group therapy. And I'm going to include 12-step programs into what I call group therapy. Why? I've seen it create profound impact and accountability within people I know who have gone through these programs. Especially 12-step, because they give you a sponsor, so you have someone that's encouraged to talk to you and that you're encouraged to talk to. It's such a great community building thing. But also, I know people that do group therapy. I've never done that myself, but the reason why they like it is because it can be less expensive. So if you don't have health insurance and you're looking for a resource like this, group therapy can be really, really helpful. And there's tons of resources in your area if you look this up online. Also, if you are paying out of pocket and your insurance doesn't cover therapy, or if you don't have insurance at all, I highly recommend the Saturday Center, which is a place that I have gone. Sliding scale therapy is what that is, but I know there's a lot of other options for sliding scale, including BetterHelp is also sliding scale. So how that works, if you don't know, is that you consult with someone about your income or your financial situation, and together you work and find an appropriate price point that works for the organization and also for you, so that you're able to get the help that you need and to get access to a therapist or a student who's training to become a therapist in order to help you get what you want at a price you can afford, which is incredible. And I'm so glad that that resource exists. I have referred so many people to the Saturday Center. And why would I not? It is one of my favorite resources that I've ever used for mental health, and it's where I met my favorite therapist. Now, we're on the part of the podcast where I'm going to tell you about some of the best things that I've ever received from therapy, the gift of therapy. And I'll say that it is the gift of connection. And to me, connection is the difference between going through your life day to day, addressing things as they come up. Maybe you have goals of what you want to do and you're pursuing them, but I think without taking a good look at your past, it doesn't even have to be like way back. It can be recent back. It can be your adult past. I think if you're not willing to take a look at that, you're doing yourself a little bit of a disservice. I think that we could all improve by looking at our patterning and trying to find ways to genuinely improve, or at least areas that could maybe be weaknesses that you could turn into strengths, or at least ways where you can catch yourself and realize, oh, yeah, that's the version of me I don't want to be anymore, which is the hardest thing to do. That's the hardest thing. That's like the biggest growth piece I think anyone can go through, is catching yourself in the moment. Or I think it's one thing to apologize, but it's another thing to catch yourself as you're doing something and say, you know what? This is just not, it's not what I want to be doing. take responsibility. And it wouldn't be an episode of Hot Pizza Ass if I didn't talk about self-love. I think that's another great thing I've received from therapy is acceptance. You really do have to accept your past, yourself, your body. You need to accept what it is that you're going through and what it is that you've gone through and choose to love and choose to grow and to know that you are not defined. You don't have to be defined by your past at all. It can change at any moment and that power is within you. But the first step to that is acceptance. And I think that's so important. That's like the biggest place where I think all self-love journeys begin. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Hot Pizza Ass. I hope it was helpful. I hope it inspired you in some way, shape, or form and gave a little bit of insight of how therapy has helped me and how it could potentially help you. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or someone who would enjoy this. And thank you to our sponsors, to Thesis and to BetterHelp. Check them out in our show notes below. I'll see you guys next time.